of memorials, symbols, monuments. Lest we forget, that's the title of my message, Lest We Forget. I don't know if you follow the news a whole lot. I mean, it's somewhat discouraging, but we can be encouraged that God is on the throne. I will say this, our country is under attack by ignorant people that don't know. They're just not knowledgeable of American history. They're not knowledgeable of what God has done. They're not knowledgeable about what men and women have fought for in this country. They're just not knowledgeable. That's what we see, is ignorance abounding. And we're going to talk about that tonight, because when people don't know, destruction is bound to follow. Think of the nation of Israel. They forgot God. Look where they're at today. Just because they forgot, they didn't remember what God told them to remember, and destruction took place. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're going to read. I have four somewhat lengthy passages we're going to read throughout the message because they're important. The Word of God is our guide. And then we have the Holy Spirit that illumines to us truth from the Word of God. So Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let's just read Deuteronomy chapter 6. Starting, verse 1. Now, these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, that thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign unto thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house, and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods, of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massah. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and his testimonies, and his statutes, and he which he hath commanded thee. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to cast out all thine enemies before thee, as the Lord hath spoken. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what meaneth the testimonies, and the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and the Lord showed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive, as it is this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he hath commanded us. What a powerful passage. We see generational impact taking place in this passage. We see what God did, and the fathers are to tell their sons, and they're to have an answer when their son asks them a question. What means all this stuff that we're doing? Why are we doing this? And then he can say, because God delivered us, because God was good. That, lest they forgot God. That's what they said in verse 12. Then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Destruction is one generation away. If we, this generation, forget to tell the next generation of what God has done, destruction is around the corner. We're going to get into that more. Not too long ago, we celebrated Memorial Day, a solemn day in our calendar to remember those who have lost their lives for the freedoms we so cherish in this great nation. Yet the dead are not remembered by mourning throngs, but are celebrated with cheerful get-togethers by the Americans who cherish the price of freedom. Isn't that interesting? We don't go mourning in the streets as we remember those who sacrificed for us. I mean, there's probably mourning for some, but we celebrate because of what they died for, freedom. They would want us to cherish what they died for and sacrificed for. Jesus wants us to relish in the fact that he died and rose again because it freed us. It's a glorious thing. The people that loved this country and were willing to sacrifice themselves for it want us to embrace the freedoms that they fought for. They do. It's a glorious thing. Why would they want us to mourn about it? This is the greatest country on the face of the earth. I'm American, and I praise the Lord for it. And you know, if you're from another country, you should be thankful that God gave you the country that you're a part of. We should be thankful for where God placed us. We should be. And if we're not grateful for it, we need to get right with God. All right? This is a great country, and we need to be thankful for it. And I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not. I still pledge allegiance to the flag. Because God put me in this country. He wants me to love this country. He wants me to respect this country. He doesn't want me to put it above him. That's idolatry. But he does want me to be thankful for it. Praise the Lord. We live in a country where we can worship God freely. Not be worried about somebody running through the door with guns and lining us up and taking us off to some prison. Praise the Lord. We can do that. There's people that feared that. Not even in this country they did. Early on in the founding of this country, there are people that went and persecuted other Christians. Praise the Lord. Things are the way they are now. You know, improvement can be made. But we celebrate Memorial Day because there are people who died for the freedoms that we have, and we want to remember them, lest we end up somewhere we don't want to be. We have a lot of ignorant people that are tearing down memorials and statues because they don't know what they stand for. They don't know the people that they're destroying, defacing. They just don't understand because they're not being taught because somebody forgot to tell them. Right? Parents, Deuteronomy chapter 6, it's our responsibility, not the public system, to teach our children about the Word of God and about the history of this great nation. Don't leave it to people who don't want the success of this country as their benefit. I'm not preaching Americana today. I'm not doing that. But I'm telling you, it all fits together because part of this country was founded upon Bible believers, people who believe the Word of God to be true. They don't teach you that in school. The pilgrims were these kind of funky-looking people that walked around with buckles on their shoes and big hats. They probably did. But that's about as far as it goes. They didn't tell you that they left those countries over there for religious freedom and that they helped establish this great nation for all peoples, all religions. Christians just somehow get the bad rap of this stuff, right? Because it's being taught wrong. Somebody's got to teach it right. And it better be you teaching your children, or they can end up like the people on the streets that aren't peacefully protesting, but that are lawbreakers. Breaking the law is against the law. I hope you guys understand that. No matter what you're coding it with, it's because people don't know. They don't understand. When we get away from the truth, knowledge, we're left to our own devices and what we're being manipulated or what's being planted in our minds. Lest we forget, we need to remember Truth. Remember, never forget what day in our nation's history does that those two words remind us of. 9/11, right? Never forget. It was a solemn day. I was in fourth grade that everything stopped and we watched the planes crash into the Twin Towers. Enemies of freedom, enemies of America, flew our planes with our people into our towers to terrorize us. It's devastating. And we forget it? Do we remember it? Does it impact us? Does it change the way we live our lives as an American? We're going to get to the Christian side of things here. But our country is full of memorials. It's full of monuments reminding us of this great nation. It is. And we need to understand that. This flag here, do we understand? Do we teach our children what it means, what it stands for? When I think of this flag, I think of the lives of men and women who fought for our freedoms. Do we teach our children that? The red, white, and blue, the red, the 13 stripes, the 13 original colonies, the 50 states, the stars. Do we teach our kids that? Is it being taught? Do they know? If you don't tell them, nobody's probably going to. And so they're just going to see this thing and, oh, it's just a flag. It's just the flag of the U.S., but what's it mean? It has symbolism. It has meaning. We need to talk about it. Because if we don't tell them what it's about, it's a vain symbol. It's no worth. It's not any better than just praying to the Lord the same repetitious thing. We see it every day. How about that cross? Do we tell our kids what the cross stands for? Or is it just a vain symbol in our imaginations? We walk into church, we see an empty cross. What's it mean? Well, Jesus Christ died on a cross. He died for the freedom of mankind. Do we tell them that? Do we remember what it stands for? Or has it just become a part of our everyday life, like the carpet that we walk on? When you get brand new carpet, you like study every fuzz because it's so soft. But then it just becomes commonplace, right? You walk on it, you forget about it, you start forgetting to take off your shoes. I don't like to take off my shoes when I walk in the house, but some people do. But that's besides the point. It becomes commonplace. How about the Christian flag? Is it commonplace? What's it stand for? How about it? The red cross. Why is it a red cross? Blood of Christ, right? He shed his blood. How about this white part here? The purity of Jesus Christ. How about when we became a Christian, the purity that we became, now we can stand before God because we're pure. God made us clean. How about the blue here? The baptism? Waters of baptism? Are you baptized? How about that? What's it stand for? Or is it just a symbol that we just forget and we don't really know, we don't teach our kids about? Things are important. Memorials are important. We need to keep that in mind. We need to remember, as this generation, what they stand for. And as Deuteronomy 6 says, we need to teach our kids. And when our kids ask us, we need to tell them, hey, Dad, what's so important about that flag, the American flag? Well, that flag represents this. And what's so important about the Christian flag? Why a red cross? Why a blue jack? Why a white field? Because it represents this. Why an empty cross? Why is Jesus not on the cross like in some other religions? Because Jesus was taken off the cross, he was put in a tomb, and he rose again. An empty cross. Important, but we forget about it so much, right? It's just commonplace. Memorials. We must keep the remembrance of life lest we forget it. We as believers, my point here is, we as believers need to have memorials in our lives lest we forget the goodness of God. I don't know what memorial in your life you need to set up, what memorial in your life that you may have, but you need to tell your children about it. Maybe you do something on a certain day for a particular reason, because you remember what God delivered you from. And they're like, Dad, why do you do that? Well, you tell them, right? Or maybe you should tell them, God delivered us from this, and this is why we don't do this. Memorials. We need to have memorials, symbols, monuments, whatever you have. We wear a wedding band, do we not? As what? A memorial, a token, a symbol of the undying love I have for my spouse. Right? Your kid asks you, why do you wear that fancy? This one's not fancy, but I have a fancy one. Why do you wear a ring around your finger? It's because it's a symbol of my dedication and unconditional love for your mother. They need to know that. Why do we wear this? Oh, so the world knows. Well, yeah, so the world knows I'm married, but so it reminds me that I'm married. I need to conduct myself in a certain way because I am married. I need to remember that. So memorials, they remind us. We the people of God need to be reminded of God's goodness in our lives. We have planners for our daily lives and the future, do we not? Oh, on this day I'm going to do this, on this day. 5 months from now I'm going to be doing this. But do we have a way to remember the importance of the past for the benefit of the future? You have, each and every one of you has some significant event in your life that probably your children need to know about. Maybe it was a surrender point. Maybe it was the day you got saved. Maybe it was the time you got victory over an addiction. They need to know about that victory because it's huge. It's important. Because it shows the goodness of God in your life. You need to remember that. You need to set up something that reminds you of what God did in your life, lest you forget what God did in your life. We can't forget. We can't forget. We have days on our calendar, like Easter. Why do we celebrate Easter? Oh, because we want to hunt eggs, because we want to chase a rabbit around. No, those are fun things. We celebrate Easter because our Savior's risen. That's why we celebrate Easter. We need to teach them that. It's not a day we come to church and wear pastel colors and we get a new clothes on that day. Those are great things. Why do we celebrate it? It's important. Do you know the Bible's full of memorials and days and rituals and things that God wanted his people to remember and do so that they didn't forget the significance of it? We're going to talk about that more. Paul said, if Christ raised not from the dead, this is going back to Easter, our faith is in vain. That's important that we tell our kids we remember what Easter's about, because if we don't remember that Christ rose from the dead, why are we here? What are we doing in church? Christ is risen. That's a glorious thing. We partake of the Lord's Supper. You see that table there? It reminds us of something. It reminds us of that the night before our Lord went to the cross, that he broke bread, he fellowshipped with his 12 disciples. And one of them turned his back on him. But he fellowshipped. And he said, do this in remembrance of me. Remember that my body was broken for you. Remember that I'm going to shed my blood for you. Remember that. Because it's important. And you know what? We still do it to this day. We have a memorial of what Christ did for us. It's a memorial. And we need to remember it. But we need to make sure, I'm mixing my points here. We need to teach it. We need to teach it to the next generation. It's not just something we do, but we need to teach it, lest they don't know what it means. Exodus 28, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Why remember the Sabbath day? Well, the Lord worked 6 days, did he not? And he rested on the seventh. He wanted Israel to have that ingrained in them. I created in 6 days and I rested on the seventh. It needed to be a part of who we are. God created. God created. He spoke things into existence. He didn't allow it to evolve. He spoke it into existence. 6 literal days, the almighty, powerful God spoke everything we see into existence and he rested on the seventh day. He wants us to know that. And he wanted them to remember it. And then we go to the Passover. What a monumental day in Israel's history, the Passover, when they had to put the blood on the doorposts. They had to eat the lamb a certain way. And then if they didn't put the blood on the doorpost, the firstborn died. But in that fateful night for some, God delivered the nation of Israel, and they were headed toward the promised land. Turn with to me to Exodus 13. Turn with me to Exodus 13. We're going to start reading in verse 3. And Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. This day came ye out in the month of Abib, and it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee in the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep this service in the month. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall no leavened bread be seen with thee, neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. And thou shalt, here, this is important verse, and thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. And it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thine hand, for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. Thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in his season from year to year. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee in the land of the Canaanites, as he sware unto thee and to thy fathers, and shall give it thee, that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that opened the matrix, and every firstling that cometh out of a beast which thou hast, the males shall be the Lord's. And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. And all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem. Here's an important verse. And it shall be when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what is this, that thou shalt say unto him, by strength of hand the Lord brought us out from Egypt and from the house of bondage. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of the beast. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all that openeth the matrix, being males, but all the firstborn of my children I redeem. And it shall be for a token upon thine hand and frontlets between thine eyes. For by strength of hand the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt. Wow. So God did an amazing wonder. He delivered them. And they had to do all this ritual stuff. It had significance. And then he's to teach his child. And when his son asks him, he's to tell him, God did amazing work. God did wondrous work. That's the importance of symbols or memorials. That's the importance. That's why we need to have them as believers. We need to have them. We need to have things by which we can teach our families and our children. We have things as a Christian community that are memorials and symbols. We have the cross, we have the flag, we have the table. We do things, but why do we do them? Or are they just kind of fallen by the wayside? We need to keep that in mind. Do we remember what we're doing and why we do what we do and why we have them? For our own benefit. Because if we don't remember where we came from and what the important events in our life took place, we could be far from the Lord. It's not necessarily the case, but it could be. We need to remember. It is important. Some examples, we celebrate birthdays to remember the days our children entered into the world. Do we not? At least we celebrated birthdays. Some people don't. Some people name their children after people to remember them by. I'm named Robert after my grandfather and 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 my grandfather. Robert's a family name. Because it's important. They wanted to remember the Roberts, all the Roberts in the family. And then you say, why am I named Robert? Well, because your grandfather was a man of God. There's significance behind it. Names are important. I'm going to put a plug in for naming your kids significant names. It's because they're to teach your children. They're to be memorials, maybe for people, a man of God. We use a lot of Christian names, Paul, Daniel, Esther, Bible name. We use those names. Why do we use them? Probably because we have a significant reason for it, and we need to tell our kids that. Don't just pick a name because it's popular. Pick a name because it has significant meaning. Maybe it's a family name. Maybe it's a Bible name. Be specific. I'm missing the word. But we need to have a reason why we do things. We just don't need to be flippant. We need to have a reason why we do things. Naming your kids is one of those things. You don't want to scar them, for one thing. leaf or tree. Great. No, be purposeful. That's the word. Be purposeful in what you do in your memorial. Be purposeful in it. Don't do it flippantly because it's significant. It's important. It's a teaching point. That's my next point. So memorials remind us. They remind us of what God has done. We need to have memorials in our lives as believers that remind us of the goodness of God. There's a hill on our family property where I walked out to one day and I surrendered to the Lord. It's a significant spot on the piece of land that we have. It's a little knoll, and then you go down into the river bottom. I had a moment where the Lord met me and I surrendered a big thing in my life. And I was free and I was happy. And for the first time in a long time, I was walking by faith. It's a spot, a memorial of what God did in my life. You know what? I'm going to tell my kids that. Because it's important. They need to know that God worked in their dad's life, that God met with him, and that he surrendered. They need to know that. Do you have those kind of situations where you could take your kid to a spot and teach them? Tell them what God has done, the goodness of God in your life. You need to remember so that you can teach. We, the people of God, have a responsibility to the next generation to teach them of the goodness of God. In Judges, there was a generation who grew up that knew not the Lord. Turn to Judges chapter 2. Judges 2. Verses 8 through 10. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there rose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which we had done for Israel. Just one generation. And already they knew not the Lord, and they did not know the works that God had done. Somebody failed to remember and to teach. Somebody failed, and it was the parents, or the grandparents, or the neighbor, whoever it was. I don't know who was influential in these people's, this generation's life. Some kids didn't have parents. Maybe they were adopted. Whoever it is, an influential person, a leader in someone's life, you have the responsibility to teach the next generation. All of us in here do. All of us have a responsibility to tell people of what God has done. None of us, well, I don't have any kids. You have a responsibility to your peer group, the peer group under you. You have responsibility to your parents, to your grandparents. Maybe they're not walking with the Lord. You need to tell them what God has done. Remind them of what God has done. Do it respectfully if it's somebody that's an authority figure in your life. But we need to be reminded and taught what God has done. We do. Or we're going to end up like this. God's people, Joshua, the leader that took them into the land of Israel, the promised land. And then already, 20 to 40 years later, the next generation doesn't know. Because somebody failed to remember and to teach. What happens? The next generation can't forget something they never knew. But we can forget. That's why we're getting too busy. Or we lose the significance of the memorials in our lives. It becomes commonplace. It's just a stone. It's just a statue. It's just a figurine. It's just a spot on the ground. It becomes commonplace. We forget to remember and we forget to teach. And it has devastating consequences. It does. Deuteronomy 6, Exodus 13, Judges 2 plainly show us the importance of remembering our past and teaching it. We learn from the past. Our country is toppling the past and hoping to learn and to benefit from forgetting. We don't benefit from forgetting. We benefit from knowledge. The Bible's full of bad stories. that you don't want to emulate and practice. But we learn from them. We learn from the past mistakes of other people. We do. That's why God put it in here. We need to learn from it. We need to teach it so we don't emulate it. Memorials, they remind us. Memorials, are they teach us. And thirdly, memorials hold us accountable. The memorial that has been set up as a reminder of what God has done also is a monument of accountability to those who know its significance. The monument keeps us accountable because it makes us reflect on what God did, but it also makes us reflect on our current situation. Am I living and sharing the importance of the monument? The monument in our nation's capital beseech the monuments in our nation's capital beseech us to tell the next generation of the cost of freedom and what it takes to maintain it. That's what they're there for. I've never been to our capital. I've seen pictures. Those monuments aren't there in vain. They're not there just because they wanted to take time and carve human beings and chairs and things out of marble. That's not a fun job. They're there because they have significance and importance, and they wanted the future generations to know the people and the price of what makes a country great. We need to teach that. We need to teach good American history, but we need to teach good Bible history. We need to teach our children and our families the Bible, because America can come and go, but the Bible and the Word of God, it will remain, and we need to teach it. We need to tell those in our influence of the importance of the Word of God, importance of the Christian symbols that we so cherish. We need to tell them, lest they forget, and my children don't know the name of the Lord. My children and my children's children don't know the name of the Lord, and they don't know what God has done, because I dropped the ball. I don't want that. I don't. Praise the Lord that my father, he got right with the Lord, and he shared with me the Word of God, and he shared with me the important surrender points in his life, and it impacted my life. And here I am today, because somebody decided they were going to teach. Somebody decided they were going to remember the goodness of God and not forget where they came from. That's why I'm here. That's why most of you are here, is because somebody in your life didn't forget where they came from and they told you what God had did in their life. That's why you're here. Because somebody believed God saved their soul. Somebody believed that God is on the throne. Somebody believed it and they passed it on to you. That's why you're here. They didn't forget and they spoke it out. They taught the next generation. Or maybe you asked somebody else and they were ready to give an answer of the hope that lied within them. Maybe that was your case. But we need to remember. We need to teach. But these monuments that we need to set up in our lives, they're going to hold us accountable. Think about it. Okay, you're in here today and you're not baptized, but you see this Christian flag and what it represents. That blue spot there is going to remind you, hey, maybe you need to be baptized. Maybe you need to take that surrender step. That's what a symbol is there for, right? It's there to teach us. It's there to remind us, instruct us. And if you're not walking in the what this is teaching, well, it's going to confront you on it. At least I would think it would. I was taught that I needed to be obedient to the Lord in baptism minutes after I got saved. I didn't really have a year's gap in between that. But that's important. The monuments in our nation's capital, we see those, and those stony eyes are glaring at us. Tell your children, tell your grandchildren why this country is great. What men and women sacrificed for. Tell them so that they know, so this country can maintain its greatness. That's why. They hold us accountable. What are the monuments of your Christianity? Do you have monuments? What are they? Do they hold? What are they? Turn to Joshua 24. Joshua 24, my last passage. Joshua 24, starting in verse 19. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgression nor your sins. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods. Then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, Nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, Ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, We are witnesses. Now therefore, put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, The Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. And Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and took a great stone, and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, Behold, this stone shall be a witness unto you, unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he hath spake unto you, us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart, and every man unto his inheritance. Joshua gave the people a choice, the Lord or strange gods. They said, We will serve the Lord. So what did he do? He took a stone, set it under an oak, and said, This stone is a witness against the words that you said. It's going to remind you that you chose the Lord and to serve him. It's going to remind you. What's the next book after Joshua? Judges. Something happened. Somebody forgot. How fickle we are. How emotional we get sometimes. We will serve the Lord. And there's this monument. But what happened? As they walked by that great stone under that oak, well, that's a nice stone. Yeah, I'm going to serve the Lord. A year later, no stone. Now they have children. He's quiet again. Because he wasn't talking about the stone, they wouldn't know to ask a question about the stone. Why is that stone significant? Why is that stone under the tree? We need to talk about the monuments in our lives. They're going to hold us accountable. Because how's an accountability partner work? You got to talk to him, right? You got to talk about it, and that's how you get accountability. So if I'm teaching my child about this stone, I'm reminding myself about what I said. And as I'm reminding myself about what I said, am I living what I said? That's what that stone reminds me of. Oh, I said I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm not serving the Lord. I need to serve the Lord. Sons, daughters, we need to serve the Lord because we told the Lord here at Shechem that we're going to serve him. That's what monuments are for. They're to teach us. They're for to remind us of what the goodness of God. They're so we can teach others about the goodness of God. And they're to hold us accountable so that we can walk in the goodness of God. We need memorials. We need them for our own sakes because we stray so easily. We need to be reminded of what God has done. But we get a purpose, like Daniel did, that we're going to purpose in our hearts, that we're going to serve the Lord. We got to do that. We can't do it in our own strength because we'll fail and we'll end up like those in the book of Judges. We need memorials. As I was sitting studying this, I was like, I need these. I need things in my life to remind me of the goodness of God. Remember this. We don't worship these things. We don't worship them. They're to remind us. We don't worship the wine and the crackers. We don't do that. We don't worship those. But they remind us. Remember what happened when the serpent on the stick, they started worshiping the snake? God got rid of the snake. That snake was to be a reminder of that God delivered them from the serpents. And then they started worshiping it. That's not what monuments are for. We're not to do that. That's idolatry. And God says, Thou shalt have no other God before me. We're not to do that. Thou shalt not make a graven image of a God. We're not to do that. We're not to make things and then put them in the place of God. No, we don't do that. But we do need them. God put them in the scriptures. We need those. We need reminded. We need to teach. And we need accountability. That's why we have them. So it reminds us that, hey, God did good in my life, and I need to make sure that I'm living that. God delivered me from addiction. Am I still free from that. We need to be reminded about that. God delivered me from that. God delivered me from anger. God delivered me from this or that. God provided this need in my life. And so you have something, a picture of that, of what God provided, and it's there in your house to remind you that God is good and God provides for his people. And you tell your kids, God gave us that. We didn't have the means to get that, but God gave it to us, and we're going to talk about it. We're going to remember what God did. Memorials. Lest we forget, we need these in our lives, lest we forget. Remember, destruction is a generation away. We got to remember ourselves. We got to teach. And we need our memorials to hold us accountable. We got to remember. Okay, let's pray. Jesus, we thank you so much for what you have done. We thank you for giving us reminders of what you have done for us. And Lord, may we not lose the significance of them. May they not become commonplace in our lives. And then we forget to remember and to teach. Lord, we need your help. And Father, we just ask that you would continue to lead and guide this church, lead and guide us in the way that we should go so that we can honor and glorify you, that the goodness of God be not forgotten. So Father, if there are people here that need to set up something, they're forgetful. They just don't remember the goodness of God, Lord. Maybe you could put something in their minds that they need to remember, and so they can tell others about it. Father, I just hope that you could practically work this out in people's lives for their own benefit and for their family's benefit and for the community's benefit. God, we trust you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.